welcome to another episode of Breaking the Capsule. Here we open the capsules on several health conditions and concerns that may help you gain knowledge to better your well-being. Again, Ishan is still on his honeymoon, so I'm still here soloing by myself. So this week, there will be a bit of different topics compared to last week. Last week it was hay fever. This week is head lice. The reason I'm talking about it this week is because in the last couple of shifts that I have been working in the community pharmacy, I've been asking a lot about head lice. So it seems like there's a bit of an outbreak here among the local school area that the pharmacy is located at. So head lice is a very common condition. It's happened all year round. Most people should have heard about it, seen it, or experienced it themselves. So it is an infestation by this parasite called Pediculus humanus capitis. Very hard to say. It can occur at any time of the year. It's not necessary like in summers or spring or winters, any times. It most commonly transmitted by direct hair-to-hair contact or head-to-head contact for longer than 30 seconds. It takes some time for the lice to travel, seems to be. It's generally can only be found on the hair, so can't really be we haven't seen it found anywhere else. Lice can spread when people share a comb or hairbrush as well, not just like head-to-head contact. Lice need warmth and blood to survive, so they do not live for long on furniture's head, bedding, carpet, and anywhere else in the other environment. Adult louse live for about a month, with the female laying about 6 eggs, which call nids, per day. The eggs are laid at the base of the hair shaft and hatch as nymph after 6 to 9 days and leaving the egg case behind. After about 9 to 15 days, the nymphs become an adult lice. Then they lay eggs and are capable of moving from person to person via direct contacts, like we mentioned before. Head lice move by crawling only. They cannot fly or jump. So that's one of the misconceptions. Another common misconception is that infestation of head lice is associated with poor hygiene and low socioeconomic status. It's not true. However, the head lice is an ubiquitous human parasite. Children, particularly those with longer hairs or those who are in close contact with other children, are at higher risk. Okay, so what are the symptoms of head lice? You might have heard of it. So the most common symptom is just like itchiness. Just be aware that if you get itchiness, doesn't mean you have head lice. It could just be eczema, it could just be allergies, anything like that. The itchiness is result from the salivas of the lice or the fecal antigens. As I mentioned, itchiness doesn't necessarily indicate active infestations, and some case with active infestation may be asymptomatic as well, which means there's no symptoms. It can take several weeks after initial infestation for itching to develop. So during that time where you don't have any symptom and you have like you are at the high risk of infecting others, just like COVID-19. Persistent scratching can cause lesions that can give rise to secondary infections or swollen lymph or glands. So how do you detect lice? So you don't really need to go to a doctor to get diagnosed for head lice. Diagnosis of lice infestation can be confirmed by observing a live louse on the scalp, commonly behind the ears or on the back of the neck. The head lice are generally between 1 to 4 millimeter long, about the size of rice grain, I suppose. The colors can be colorless when they hatch to reddish or brown after the feeding. So the most common method to detect lice is called wet combing method. So what you do is you get hair conditioner. So you wet your hair, apply conditioner on it, try to cover each hair from root to tip. The conditioner will stun the lice and immobilize them for about 20 minutes or so. And then you detangle the hair, evenly distribute the conditioner using a normal comb. You can divide them between 3 to 4 centimeter sections and comb each of the section using a fine tooth head lice comb, which you can get easily from a pharmacy or a supermarket. After combing each sections, wipe the conditioners from the comb onto a paper towel and inspect the head lice and eggs. So if you see things on that means you have head lice. Repeating the combing at least twice for each sections, just to be thorough. If the first time you didn't see it, do it again, and then you might see the next time. And then after you do that, just rinse the hair thoroughly with water. This method also being used after head lice treatment has been applied, just to determine whether it's been effective or you need to do another treatment. And wet combing method is also a effective treatment for head lice as well, which we'll discuss a little bit later on. A common question that I generally get is, what if you just have like dandruff? So dandruff and any other objects in the hair can be distinguished easily from the eggs of lice, because unlike the eggs, this dandruff and other objects can be removed very easily from the hair. So when do you need to refer? Or like, generally it can be treated easily, you can get a lot of stuff from the pharmacy, but you need to refer to doctors if it's the sign of infections like whipping, crushing of skin, swollen glands, fevers, or if the treatment method has been not effective. So the presence of live lice in combing soon after the correct application of treatments indicate that the treatment was used incorrectly, or the head lice is resistant to the product. So that's when you go to see doctors for referral. There's a lot of the most common type of resistant is the neurotoxic insecticide, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. Another question that I normally get as well is, does the parents need to exclude the kids from the school? You don't actually need to exclude them from the school, as long as an effective treatment begins the next day of school or childcare. So the earlier you do it, the better it is, and also mean that you don't have to leave your kids at home, and you know, it means you probably have to stay home as well and call off work and stuff like that. So in terms of treatment options, there are three main methods that you can do easily nowadays. The first option is neurotoxic insecticide. The second option is non-neurotoxic insecticide. And the third option is physical removal methods. So the first option, neurotoxic insecticide, is basically you use a chemical to treat head lice that damage the nerve to the lice, so including permethrin, maldicin, pyrethrin with piperonyl butoxide. So sounds a bit difficult to say, but when you go to the pharmacy, just ask the pharmacist, they can point to you which one is the neurotoxic insecticide. They will kill the lice and eggs. However, no products can actually kill all the eggs. Neurotoxic insecticide treatment should not be used on children under 2 years old without medical supervision, because it can be a bit harmful. Another issue with it is it can cause a lot of resistance as well, especially if you use a lot of time where there's an outbreak at school. Even though your kid doesn't have it, some parents still use it, and it can, even though you don't have head lice, that can cause like resistant to the medication as well. So how do you apply neurotoxic insecticide? So make sure that you remove all the hair products like gel, hairspray, give it a wash as well, and then let it dry. Make sure when you apply the products, wear gloves to cover your, protect your hands and protect the eyes as well, if you, to wear glasses, so just in case it gets into your eyes. Apply the product over the entire head, coating all the hairs from root to tip. If there's a lotions, apply it to dry hair. For shampoo, wet the hair using a little water as possible. Leave the products on the hair for specified time based on the product's directions on the box. And then dry the hair with a towel, not a hairdryer, because heat might inactivate the products. And then don't wash the hair for about 1 to 2 days after the treatment. Also, the time frame depends on the product. And repeat it as well after 7 to 10 days, just to make sure that it's killed all of them. Generally, the day after you apply all these products, you use the wet combing method. It's the same method as you detect the head lice. Just to get rid of all the eggs and all the lice as well. And then keep repeating this method weekly for several weeks after the treatment has been applied. The second option, as I mentioned, is non-neurotoxic insecticide. So they're including benzyl alcohol, dimethicone, essential oils, isopropyl, myristate. They are effective, safe to use, and unlikely to be affected by the emergence of resistance. They actually consider as a first line of treatment in some location because of local resistance to the neurotoxic insecticide. The treatment, the how to use it is actually quite different between products, so I won't go through the detail of it. When you go to the pharmacy, just ask for the products, and then the pharmacist can recommend you the most appropriate one. And the last option is a physical removal method. So you got your wet combing, same as what we talked about in the lice detections. So I can go through that a little bit again. So lice and eggs are removed by applying hair conditioners and combing the hair thoroughly every 2 days until no lice are found for 10 consecutive days. So it seems like a little bit of effort there. This is some sort of preferred treatment when fewer than 5 lice can be found. However, this treatment success rate is about 40%. But if you want it to be very effective, you may have to adhere to it like strictly. And I mean, some people might prefer this over chemical because you don't have to use any chemical to it. Second option is heat. So eggs are killed by applying heat with hairdryer to small sections of hair for 1 to 3 minutes over a period of 30 minutes. Heat treatment is considered to be more effective than the wet combing. However, it might damage your hair, so some people might not like these options. That's the main treatment options there. Side effect of all this stuff is you might have reaction to the chemicals. So it can get a bit itchy, redness, swelling, skin irritations. However, it's not very common to get those. What else can you do if you detect that there's head lice in your hair? So head lice need regular supply of blood to survive and only live for a day or two away from the human scalp. So eggs cannot hatch and usually die within a week if they are not kept at the same temperatures as they fall close to the human scalp. So what you can do is all your clothing and cap and stuff like that, put in the washing machine on a hot cycle and dry in the direct sunlight. You make sure you also wash your scarf, pillowcase, bedding, clothing, towels, worn. Dry, clean or seal item in a plastic bag for 2 weeks if they cannot be laundered. Avoid sharing items that may be have been in contact with infected person. Vacuum furniture and floor to remove hairs that might have been viable eggs attached to it. Soak the combs and brush in hot water above 53.5 degrees Celsius for 5 to 10 minutes. Okay, so if there's an outbreak at school, what are the prevention methods? Reduce head-to-head contact with other people. Conduct weekly hair and scalp checks. Lots of effort there. Comb frequently with neat combs. Avoid sharing hat, scarf, pillowcase, bedding, towels. Tie long hair back. Wash brush and combs in hot water once a week. Examine and treat family close contact if live lice are found. Notify the infested person school so that they have appropriate measures to prevent it at the school scale. So that's it of headlines in the capsules. Pretty common and easy to treat conditions. And if you have any questions, feel free to send me a message at contact@breakingthecapsule.com, and I shall see you guys next week.
All of the information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you have any questions, please see your healthcare professional.